Today our theme is going to be looking at the man Ezra, but actual text is going to come from the next book close to Ezra. It's called Nehemiah. And these guys lived at the same time, and you'll see both of them today in today's message. But I think, boys and girls, have you ever heard that word Ezra, the person Ezra? You've talked about Esther, right? You've talked about Esther? And Ezra. So you guys know about Esther and Ezra and Nehemiah and all these guys. Well, anyway, let's go on. Let's see what's happening. Okay, who, where, and when. These are some good words to ask when you read the Bible. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses so that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. So the who is all the people that gathered as one. Now, we're gathered as one here. Do we have 100 people? What do you think? I don't know. I think we're a little short of 100. What do you think, guys? About 100? 101? Okay. That's my golf score. So we have about 100 people here. Well, this particular day, when Ezra's going to speak in Jerusalem, there's 50,000, approximately 50,000 people. And these are the ones who have returned from being captives. They were taken away by another country, and now they have been brought back. The walls around Jerusalem have been rebuilt, and now we're getting ready for this sermon. So Ezra is the scribe. He's the guy. He's the preacher. So you got James here this week, right? You got Pastor James for a couple of months, and then we have Pastor Danny coming. Well, the Israelites at that particular time had this priest named Ezra, and he's there. And then it says men and women. I like a kick out of this. You can read this. Men and women. Then all who could understand, they were there too. So the men and women couldn't understand, but the others could. So that means boys and girls, you understand, but maybe mom and dad don't. But no, don't take that serious. So men and women, 50,000 people were gathered. Okay, I like this one artistic description of, that's Ezra holding up the word of God, and all the people are there. Can't get 50,000 faces on one screen, but that's about it. So where were they? And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. So if I said, hey, look, next Sunday we're going to gather down at the main plaza, you would kind of understand where that was, right? Well, the Jewish people knew in Jerusalem where this water gate was. How many of you guys know where the water gate is? Got it memorized in the back of your head? Okay. Does this one have a laser? Where's the laser on this guy? This one have a laser? Is that the laser, this thing, or is that the all fallen? Let's try. Nope, that wasn't the laser. Oh, here we go. Okay, there's the water gate, guys. See it? So he's going to be standing here preaching, but all the 50,000 are going to be right here in the square. So that gives us a feeling what's going on. So 50,000 people, that's a lot of people, but it's not as many as it once was. Okay. Thank you. And when did they do it? On the first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month. What do you know about the first day of the seventh month? Well, in our keeping of time, it's July the 1st, right? Okay. Numbers reminds us of this. This is another verse in the Bible, boys and girls, and it says, on the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets. So this book of the law of Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. So he's reading all those scriptures, those five books of the Bible, to these people, and one of those talks about this trumpet day. So that's the day that they're doing this actual sermon. It's a big holiday in for the Israelites. Let's see if I can get some trumpets. Okay. So mainly the trumpets look like this. They do have horns they use for different occasions. But the trumpets, what does anybody play a trumpet? In school and how about in the past, did you play a trumpet? Did you try to play a trumpet? Okay. So not too many trumpeters out there. Well, what does a trumpet do? Well, for sure it wakes you up. It can be a warning sign, but what they're actually saying is, get ready. Okay, guys? You know, get ready. What's going to happen? We're going to celebrate the Day of Atonement in 9 days. So get your hearts ready. Get ready to meet your Lord and Maker and confess your sins and bring that lamb and sacrifice it. This is what we do as Israelites. We celebrate atonement. Our God. And of course that points to what? Not a real lamb, a little animal, but it points to who we call the Lamb of God, Jesus, who will be sacrificed on the cross. So a very special day was being held when Ezra reads this to all those people. This thing's trying my patience. Ev, could you give it a click? Thanks. Well, what happened? One more. Yeah. And he read it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. Do you guys, you're probably not as bad as I was when I was at school and they'd call on me to read at school. They ever call on you to read at school? Do they still do that? Mm-hmm. You know, and you always read as fast as you could because then that showed everybody how smart you were, right? Well, this guy, I don't know how fast he read, but he read from early morning until midday. So what are we looking at? Please work. A 4 to 6 hour read. How many of you boys and girls, mom or dad, reads to you at night before you go to sleep? You ever done that? I've read The Lord of the Rings to my children when we were growing up, not to put them to sleep, but we'd read it, you know, as part of a family enjoyment. Maybe 1 hour, and sometimes the kids like, Dad, can you read a little more? Read one more chapter. And maybe we'd go a little bit over an hour, but never 4 to 6 hours. Now, you can imagine if I kept you here for 4 to 6 hours, you wouldn't be too happy, would you? Well, Ezra is reading this for 4 to 6 hours. Hey, it worked. Well, what happened? Well, he read it in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. Remember, that's young people as well as adults. Okay, particularly those who could understand. Now, why do we let our little guys go out first? Because they're not big like you senior kids. And they can't understand it as much as you can. But you can understand. At certain times, it happens for different people. But about around ages 8 to 10 or so, you begin to understand what is really going on in kids' church. Okay? So you people, you young people, are people who understand. But this is the ears. Hit it one time, man. What we get? Hey, we make a good team. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Attentive. Just like all you little guys were down here attentive to Dr. Maneuver. Not only you little guys, us big guys too. We get a kick out of Dr. Maneuver. And we were attentive. Let's look at some attentive ears. What do they look like? Yeah, what do these ears look like? Hey, there's one. Hey, some of you dog lovers know that the dog's biggest sense for detection is the nose, but it does have great ears. Its eyes is not really that great, actually, for dogs. They confuse things. They can't see depth and then colors because those shadows can move, but they do ears. But one animal has really good ears, and that's a deer. And they can very sensitive. If you've ever hunted deer for a sport, you know if you make any little sound, that deer, boom, it's gone. Good ears. But here's some people ears. They look pretty much like an attentive bunch, don't you? Okay, quiz. How many people are out there listening to Ezra? Yeah, approximately 50,000. There's 40-some-odd thousand if it talks about it in the previous chapter, chapter 7 of Nehemiah, that there's 40-some-odd thousand and 7,000 servants. So, Gumsarangha, or approximately 50,000 people. But they all have attentive ears. All of them. 50,000 people are listening very carefully. Let's see what happens. Did I do that or did you do that? I don't know. Okay. How did Ezra read? And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform, and they had made for the purpose This is really a little different when this is a theater, a stage setting, but even in some of our early Reformation churches, they would build a pulpit to where I'd probably be up there where Mike and Mavis are. Mike and Mavis, wave your hands. So they're way in the back. So I would be up there, and you guys would be, we just flip it around, and you'd see me up there. That's the way traditional church was set up. And in this particular situation, on this particular day, there's the platform. So you can see, I got something going on here. Hey, okay. We have to get used to this. This is new thing. Thank you for your patience. But there's the platform. And you see the little pulpit kind of box thing. That's where Ezra's going to stand. And it looks similar to this. So here's Ezra reading from the law. He didn't have a book. He didn't have an iPad, of course, anything like that. And he reads from scrolls the law of Moses. Okay, thanks. And beside him stood 13 people. I'm not going to try to read those names. I don't even go there. But 13 guys, seven is on his left and six on his right. He's got these 13 people up on the platform. And here's a good artistic description, I think, of this. So you can see, if you can count it, it's just like the scripture said, seven on the left, six on the right. So how did the people respond? And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Remember, he's way back up there, and we're all looking up at that, okay? And so they could see when he opened the book. And what did all the people do? They just sat in their chairs and watched the preacher entertain. Isn't it kind of strange? We don't come to church to see the man. And Danny was good at that and reminding us of that. We come to church to hear the very words of God. What an awesome responsibility it is for a pastor to have to come here week by week and tell you the word of God. So I was confessing last week how I'm not a great pastor. Because sometimes I lose the sight of what we're doing. It's not just me getting a sermon ready. It's I'm supposed to be feeding God's sheep. So Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, they all stood. You want to just stand, stretch your legs anyway? Come on, stand, stretch your legs. Okay. So how many of you have been to churches when they do start a service and they read the scriptures? You don't have to stretch your legs if you don't want to, but go ahead and sit down. But you know, a lot of tradition, I think even the Scottish Presbyterians, they would bring in the Bible on what they called the beetle. Sounds like a bug, right? But this beetle, they bring it in, and everybody stands while the Bible makes its way into the worship service. And then, of course, they'd stand there for the readings, and then they'd sit down when it came for the homily. But here, the people are all standing. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And boys and girls, have you ever wondered, what are these guys doing when they're singing like this? Have you ever seen it? Have you seen it, Sam? What do you think about that? Is that, what's this all about? Our arms, we're surrendering. It's a good one. We're open to our lives that we want to receive something from you. And we're saying, thank you, thank you. We're surrendered to you. I like that. Okay. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, I haven't seen that done too many times here. And I'm not quite sure I can do this even illustrate, but it's basically like you see our Muslim friends, they have their prayer mat, and they lay it out, and they get down, and they put their face down to the ground. It's kind of hard to do it when you're sitting in a theater seat, isn't it? But we can always bow our head down. So the body posture can take different ways of worship. And so some people are receiving God's blessings, his word, and others are moved by the Spirit and contrite in heart, confessing. Roberto exhorted us, and even in Martin's prayer, there was this confession part, and that's where we really humble ourselves. And taking a body posture like that, it reminds us. Too often I pray on a prone position or in my chair, you know. I like to be comfortable when I pray, but occasionally it does a lot of good just to lay yourself flat on the floor with your face down to remind you who you are, but who your great God is. So they're worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground. So here's some pictures. The guys don't really have their hands up that high, but some are getting ready and going back and forth. Okay. Well, Ezra had other help. These are Levites. 13 of these guys helped the people to understand the law. So they're not only those 13 who are on the stage with them, there's these other 13 Levites, and I think together they're all going to help the people. While the people remained in their places, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that people understood the reading. This is the whole purpose, is not just to say, yeah, that was a great, nice little speech. No, it's you understand. What is God trying to say to you? How does it apply to you in your life from this particular scripture? And for him, it was 5 books of the Bible that day. The law of Moses. So here we go. Small group discussions, explaining so people could understand. And what's coming up later, guys, after this trumpet, is the Feast of Tents. And this is what they're getting ready. They're going to live outdoors like the Israelites did when they were on their journey to the Promised Land. Okay. More help arise. And Nehemiah, who was the governor. Who can remember who the last, boys and girls, I don't want dads and moms. Boys and girls, who was the last governor of Hong Kong, the last British governor? It's on the tip of Nathan's tongue. Begins with a P. That's close. Patton, right? Oh, I see, Sam. You knew that, right? Okay, anyway, I think he was the last one, right? but anyway, Chris Patton was our last governor. But under King Artaxerxes, Nehemiah was given permission to go back and rebuild the wall. And he was the political leader, but a very godly political leader. And so I got a picture of him. This is what godly political leaders look like. So Nehemiah and Ezra working together with these other 36 people, and they're telling the guys, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the Lord. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I've cried a few tears in this room during worship service. Have you? I won't mention his name, but a big, strong man, I've seen him cry. But it's oftentimes when we're singing, right? The Spirit moves us emotionally when we're singing, and something of that truth, of the truth of who God is and who I am, and this music sets the emotional thing, and it just, boom, it just opens up. Just so grateful for God's love that the tears come down. Okay, who wept? One or two? James, the crying pastor, he wept. Who else wept? All the people. Can we say it one again? All the people. Okay, exam number two. How many people? Oh, number-wise. How many people were all the people? 50,000. All right, now we're catching it. 50,000 people. Okay, boys and girls, moms and dads are probably too inhibited to help me out here. But can you make a crying sound like... Okay, can we do that? All right, boys and girls all together. 50,000 people are crying because they're hearing the truth of the Word of God. I promised you that you would go into captivity, but I would deliver you, and boom, you're back in Jerusalem. And why did you go over there in the first place? Because you didn't believe my promise to Moses. You didn't believe keep covenant as I asked you to. And they know it. The more he reads the Word of God, how they were supposed to have no idols before him, how they were supposed to love him with all their heart and mind and soul, how were they supposed to teach their children to be raised up in the fear of God, because that's the beginning of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And they weren't doing it. And so everybody did what? They cried because they knew they were not truly following Jehovah. But remember, all these, Ezra and his helpers, most of all, Nehemiah the governor, everybody's saying, hey, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. And for adults, there are times when we need to mourn and weep when we worship. There are times. But that day, and I think this day here, we are not to be mourning and weeping, but we're to be rejoicing. It's holy, and it's a happy time. And here's one artistic depiction of what it must have looked like as he read and everybody's crying. And why did all the people weep when they heard the law of Moses? I think I've already said that. Answer that. A good verse from Chronicles, which is right next door to these Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. And so that's what's happening. God is hearing their prayers. He sees their tears of true, honest repentance. And he's saying, don't mourn, but rejoice. A holy day to rejoicing. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. Occasionally, I see moms and dads, when their kid starts to cry, they reach into their bag and pull out a biscuit, a cookie to us North Americans. Okay? And they give it to the kid, and the kid stops crying. A good cure for 50,000 people who are weeping is, hey, look, guys, eat, drink. Because this is a grand day to celebrate the mercy of God that has come upon you. 50,000. And when you're taken off into captivity, there were many, many more. The 50,000 of you have been spared. And you're here. Okay. Eat, drink, and be merry, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What's going to get you through life, boys and girls, moms and dads, when times get rough, is knowing that God loves you. And he's taking you from this earth to this existence to the next existence, which is heaven. And between now and then, it will have troubles. Christ tells us that in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome troubles. I've conquered death. And through my faith in me, you too will conquer death. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what gets us through rejoicing. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. So if we were all did our crying thing, and then all of a sudden, be quiet. Holy Spirit moving in a very powerful way upon the people of Israel. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and make and to send portions and to, everybody help me with these three words. Yeah, mega rejoicing, making great rejoicing. Because they had understood the words and they were declared to them. Yes, I hear James preach about Jesus on the cross and the gospel and all that. But you know now, whoop, it's me. And when it happens to you, and you know it, boys and girls, not because your mom and dad told you, but you know it in your heart, Jesus loves me. I belong to him forever. Great rejoicing. And how do we rejoice? Baptize. And then hopefully we'll have something nice to eat afterwards. Okay. Okay. Here's a happy family. On that Feast of Trumpets Day, when Ezra read the law, they're going out. And sweet wine, that's sweet wine that most of the dad have. And they got this fat food, whatever that is. Good food. Okay, they're having fun. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So that's the only application I want to know. What is your strength? What's getting you through life? What gets you to school? What gets you through the relationships? When a boyfriend breaks it off, when a girlfriend walks away, when marriage is... You lose your job. I had a good friend, a friend of the church. He lost his granddad. Died. What is going to get you through life? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Okay, we got more than the first five books of the Bible. We got the other 51 books. We have the historical books. We have the books of wisdom. We have the books of the prophets. Then we got this thing called the New Testament, the New Covenant. And we're going to celebrate that, the New Covenant of my blood, in just a moment. We've got the gospel. And the great news is that we don't get what we deserve. We don't end up being pushed away by God because of our rebellion and to an eternity separated from him. No, we get heaven. And we get to be called his children. So we get what we don't deserve, and we don't get what we do deserve. The good news. And we know the good news is not something like, hey, be good people and God will love you. No, the good news is that Jesus died for us while we were bad people, so we could become good people. And now we live a life of thanksgiving for him. And so there's two ways that we can sin against God, which is very clear. Is one is it doesn't matter what we do, God will forgive us anyway. No, we don't live like that. That's why we get into the Word of God, the Gospels, and the New Testament to understand how we are to do life as Christ's followers. And the second one, though, is to think that if I do everything right, then God will love me more. No, he doesn't love you more. He loves you because Jesus Christ did everything right, and Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. So we know this gospel. So I ask you, this morning, is the joy of the Lord your strength? If you'd like it to be, all you have to do is pray a prayer. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Those hands, bow the head in your heart. Lord, I'm yours. I believe that Jesus Christ really died for me. Okay, now we were rejoicing earlier about these guys. Do you know who this is, guys? Let me think. Is this the right one? Yeah. Who's this guy? Okay, boys and girls, we've got to learn a new name. Pastor Danny. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Pastor Danny. All right. And who's that? That's Miss Laura, right? That's Danny's wife. Now, how about these other three little guys, huh? Hey, we're going to have three new kids here. They're going to be kind of lonely, right, when they come. They're leaving all their friends back in Colorado and elsewhere, and they're going to come. So I think the big guy, is he Brady or Will? Brady is the big guy, I think. That's Brady. And Will's the little guy. And Ellie. 11:9-6, I think the way it goes. Yeah, we're rejoicing. But what I want all you boys and girls and mom and dad is to pray that God would use this man to help you understand the Word of God. So he and I are kind of like Nehemiah and Ezra, working together for the gospel and the growth of his church in DB. Let's pray. Father, we're not 50,000 people here this morning, but the ones who are here, I thank you. They've had attentive ears and attentive hearts. Lord, I don't want any boy or girl just being a Christian because mom and dad said so. I want it to be real for them that they understand. And I thank you for their moms and dads who are so crucial and so important to explain the gospel. And I thank you for loving each young person. I thank you for the adults here. And some of us have been following you many years, Lord. And we too pray that you continue to work in our hearts, that they would be soft to your word, to hear you speak to us, not only on Sundays, but every day as we open the word of God and worship you in our privacy of our home. Father, I thank you for Danny and Laura, for Brady, Will, and Ellie, and preparing this family and bringing them here that they too soon will be about the business of helping us understand the Word of God and equipping us to share this good news in Discovery Bay and beyond. Now we thank you for the sacrament of the Lord's table. Come and bless. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if I could ask the elders to come down. Let's see, Russ is away as well. Steve, could I impose on you on a last-minute request? Is that okay? You all right? Thank you. Steve Torgerson's known to most of us, but Dr. Steve Torgerson, he's a good brother, ordained guy and all that kind of stuff, and he's kind of like an elder emeritus sort of person, if you're wondering who he is. But we thank you, Steve, for helping us. Russ and Martin couldn't make it today. We're exhorted in 1 Corinthians 11 to examine ourselves before we take from this table, to see if there's something wrong. If you trust that Jesus Christ died for you, he rose again from the dead for you, and he's given Holy Spirit to you, and he's the one whom you serve, no one else. There's no other gods in your life. This is not a mixture. I add Jesus to something to something. No. Just Jesus alone. You're ready. But where we can fail as a body of believers, as a brother or sister in Christ, is that we begin to think ourselves better than someone else. And this was the Corinthians' problem. If there's some sin in your heart that you've been trying to just don't want to talk to Jesus about, let's take advantage of this moment right now and talk to him. Remember, his blood can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is say, "Forgive me." It does not matter. A little one, big one, or many, just talk to him. Let's pray. Father, now I close my eyes and I ask, Holy Spirit, work in my heart. Is there something I need to confess up? And so I ask you to work in my brothers and sisters' hearts. If they need to talk to you, just come to you. For that's why you came. You bought us to redeem us. And as that freedom song we sang, Lord, free to do your will, not to do anything we want, but to do your will, to have the strength and the power. And one of the things is to confess our sin. And so, Lord, as we come to this table, we come equally in great need of you, our Savior. And we thank you. In Christ's name. Amen. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat in remembrance of me." Now remember, it's not a story, all right? His body was broken. His body was put on that tree. His body, he was Christ, God incarnate, the man, God, man who created the earth. Broken, given for you, given for me. And likewise, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for the remissions of sin. And every time you eat and drink of this cup, do so in remembrance of me until I come back," right? This blood of the new covenant shed. Real blood dropped from Christ, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, died for you and for me. So what are we going to do? We're going to eat and remember him. So if you believe that, that is really who you are, you're more than welcome to come to this table. We do not argue about that. If you haven't been baptized, or you should be baptized, we'd love to be baptized too. But please, come eat and drink in remembrance of him. Just follow the crowd. You'll see.